Here we are in week four. I got to get my weeks right now because I had this. This was supposed to be my week three, but this is week four of this sermon series of Creator. And well, just to kind of catch you up, science tells us that we came to be by an accident of nature. They tell us we evolved from a lower form of life that one day, for no particular reason, life began. We are taught about things like survival of the fittest, that how man is basically at the top of the food chain. We are told that through natural selection that the traits and that we need were evolved over a long period of time, and those that we don't need just died out. And you know what? Today I'm not here to argue that with you. But I would like to ask you just a very few questions when it comes to the idea of creativity. When it comes to creativity, how did it get here? They say, huh? Well, think about it for a second. If everything is moving and is only picking up the things that I need to survive, then the question is where did our appreciation for art, literature, and poetry evolve from? I really enjoy and I appreciate people that can sing because guess what? I can't. I appreciate people that can play instruments because I can't. I like poetry and I like to read it. Where did this evolve from? Where did love evolve from? I mean, let's be honest. When I look out in the animal kingdom, we do see that they mate, but there is no concept of what we would call love. This idea of commitment. A lot of times when we watch a Disney movie, they try very hard to give these attributes of love to the animal, but it doesn't really exist. Where did that come from? And why would it dare evolve? What does the appreciation for beauty have to do with survival? When I look out and I get up on the spring day and I'm out there early in the morning, which does happen because I do have to go to work, and the sun is coming up and you're riding over the mountain and you see that beautiful sunrise and you just have the hankering that you want to pull over on the side of the road and just look at the beautiful sunrises. Where does that come from? If everything just is random, natural, evolved survival of the fittest, how does this all work? Where did our creative ability evolve? At what point did somebody look out at the world and say, you know what, I'm tired of this survival of the fittest thing. I'm just going to write a movie script. Or I'm just going to write a book. Not a book about facts, just a book to entertain. Where does all of that come from? If indeed it's all just a random set of circumstances, somewhere along the way, none of this makes sense because none of this contributes to my survival if I'm just here to survive. This has to do with my quality of life. You see, when I look out at the animal kingdom and we investigate it, we don't see creativity the way that you think about it. You see, beavers absolutely, positively do build. But you know what? They build the same dam they've been building forever. They don't change it as long as it's functionally sound. You know what else? Spiders are the same type. When they examine the web, guess what? They all spin the same kind of web. Birds, well, guess what? They build the same kind of nest. Benji and I were having a conversation yesterday because my mom likes to feed birds, and she likes to feed squirrels, and she likes to put up birdhouses. She's obsessed with this. She loves this. And the problem is going to be is what happens when grandma and grandpa aren't there anymore and there's nobody there to feed the birds. They're going to lose their ability. As a matter of fact, they've even asked people in Lynchburg to stop putting up so many bird feeders because they're worried about the birds losing the ability to survive because they just keep eating from these bird feeders and they don't learn how to hunt or how to find their own food. Because guess what? Animals, they work completely out of instinct. They don't exhibit creativity. Now, let me go ahead and put this out here because we as human beings, we are desperate for creativities. You see, birds, They don't create new music. They sing the same songs that were always ingrained in them. The birds would never have to have a conversation about, do we play traditional or contemporary? Because guess what? All they know is traditional. They sing the same thing over and over and over, generation after generation. There are animals out there that change colors, the chameleon, for example, but they do this to blend in with their natural habitat. The idea of an animal coming up with a brand new color just for the sake of making a color, you don't see that anywhere in nature. Some animals, they're very good at disguising themselves. But guess what? The idea of putting on a costume just so they can perform a play to entertain another animal, you just don't see it. Their diets are eat what you find, using food as a measure of expression, as a means of expression. You just don't see it. Whatever they happen to come across, that's what they eat for the day. They do communicate, but guess what? You don't see them sit down to write poems to express their love to somebody else. They do build great structures, and some of them we look at and they're awesome structures, but guess what? They don't build them because I need to see a beautiful structure. They're building them for functionality. You see, animals don't have this need for creativity, but I do. I drive some of you crazy sometimes with my need for creativity because I do strange things like show video clips or I do slides and I do all this. It's just the need to make things more creative, more appealing, some say more entertaining. But you understand, there's something in you that just makes you want to be creative. I don't care who you are. The shyest person that is here has this need to find a way to express themselves, whether it be through art, music, maybe you just enjoy writing poems down and you never read them in anybody else. But you have this basic, desperate need to be creative. And where did it come from? Because it wouldn't have been evolved, because guess what? That doesn't help me survive. The good news is I know where your creative nature came from. Guess where? Came from Dad. It came from our creative creator. Let's be honest. I don't get most modern art. I walk into an art museum and I get the paintings and I like to sit down and look at the paintings and study the paintings and understand what maybe. But I look at some modern art and I'm kind of like, I don't get it. When it comes to ballet and opera, I've tried both. I don't get either. Okay? My wife loves ballet, and she says, hey, let's go to the ballet, and I say, let's make a deal. I'll go to the ballet if you go to the football game. She's like, I'll go to the ballet with my sister, because she doesn't appreciate the beauty of football, and I don't appreciate the beauty of ballet. But that doesn't mean it's not creative. It doesn't mean that it's not something that's supposed to be out there. So creation, the idea of creativity is everywhere, and what we need to understand is every creator has a process, even God. Turn with me, if you will, if you have your copy of God's Word, you can make your way to Genesis. This isn't one of those sermons where I'm going to read chapter and verse after chapter and verse, but you can kind of pick up on the things as we're going. This is all coming right out of Genesis, and we're right back at the beginning, those first 7 days. God's process, what did it look like for the environment around us? Guess what? All 7 days, all 6 days started off with the same words. What did they start off with? And God spoke. That was his process. God looked out across it and he says, I want to create. I've got a blank tapestry here. There's nothing, formless, void, empty. And it said, God spoke. Let there be. And you can read through the first 6 days and guess what? There was a lot of let there be. Everything responded to God's word, but you do understand God didn't do nothing. He didn't just say, well, I'll think about it. There was an action in his process to make the environment that we live in, and it was God spoke. Now, here's something we don't usually think about. God named. Huh? Well, I thought Adam named. We'll talk about that in a minute. When God was putting all of this into existence, it says, and God said, let there be light. Now, just want to let you know, we have an English version of the Bible. They translated it from Greek and Hebrew. And I'm not real sure what language God was speaking when he said, let there be. Okay, I don't know. But I do know one thing. He was very specific in what he was doing. How do I know? Because it goes across 6 days. And there are multiple things that are mentioned that he said, let there be. So he named everything that he created. There was nothing random about it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. But then later God said, let there be sun, and there was sun. You get it, right? God had to, as he was creating, had to come up with a name for everything. You ever picked up a dictionary and read through our language? There's a lot of words there. Come play Scrabble with us one day. You'll figure out how many words we actually know, because we played Scrabble a lot. We know words. That's a word. Yeah, look it up. We know that. It's on page this and that dictionary right there. Because we've looked these things up, because we like to win at Scrabble. God was coming up with this with no dictionary off the top of his head. Let there be. And then he named it. And then here's the amazing thing that we don't ever think about. After it happened, so God said, let there be light. God sat back and said, that's an impressive light. He just sat there and admired what he had done. And how do I know he did that? Because he said so. He said, let there be light, and then there was light. And then God said everything was good. So this wasn't this idea that God said, yeah, we're going to make this and throw this together, and yeah, well, the grass should be green, and yet, you understand, God, when he did this, he was in no hurry. God didn't need 6 days. He could have literally just said, let there be everything. And you know what? There would have been everything. But that's not how our Creator works, is it? If you've ever written a poem or tried to write music or you tried to paint a picture, and we'll go with the picture model best because we understand that one. Do you come in there and you see a blank canvas and you just pick up all the colors and go, whoosh, look, I made a painting. No, what do? Okay, some of us, that's what we do, okay? What do? Even a child gets this idea. We sit there and we look at the painting and we decide, what do I want to build? And then we go through this process, and there's a thing of layering if you're a really good artist. There is this idea, there's a process to it, and God did the same thing with the environment around us. Why? Because God wasn't constructing, he was creating. That's impressive to me. God wasn't just putting one block on top of the other like Legos. God was creating a work of art that he was going to look at and say, this is beautiful. This is awesome. This is my creation. Now, here's the good thing about most artists. They don't have just one process. They got a couple. And guess what? Our creator, he's got another way of thinking about things. See, because then he was all done creating humanity. He said, well, got this environment. Now I'm going to put the crown jewel in it. I am going to make human. Male and female. And even in this, the process changed, but there was still a process. But I want you to see how much this process becomes very more personal. Because guess what? When it came to us, people, God pondered, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. So you realize what you are. You're God's very first selfie. God held up the camera. He's like, okay, so here's the model. This is what we're doing. Here's what we look like. This is what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit look like. This is what God looks like. Let's create this. That's impressive, isn't it? God just didn't randomly say, well, you know, we think we'll put some indentions right here and we'll call those eyes. And well, they're going to need a nose. They got to breathe. God didn't start by looking at the schematics. He started by looking at himself. When you look in the mirror, you are gazing on the very image of God. Okay, some of us are a little out of shape images or a little old images. I've realized how old I was last weekend standing around everybody else that was in their 20s. I'm kind of like, man, I'm old. Most of these people here, I'm old enough to be their dad, not their granddad. I'm old enough to be their dad, okay? Granddad, another topic. I'm not ready yet. But after God pondered, I love this. It says that God molded. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. For Adam, he molded from dirt. For Eve, he molded from Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Then the Lord God made the woman from, I don't like the word rib because it's not a great translation. This is literally what it says. Then the Lord God made a woman from the side he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. This idea that God didn't just say, everybody else, all the animals, all the other things, God said, let there be. When it came time for humanity, God got his hands dirty. It says that he took dirt. And I don't know if you know anything about making something out of dirt. You know what else you got to have besides dirt? You got to have water. You know, so God took dirt and added water until he got it the right consistency. And it says he, with his hands, molded us. And then when he looked at man, he said, well, he's going to need somebody to keep him straight. So let's make Eve. He said, well, I'm not going to go back to dirt. I want man to understand that this is his complement. So he took a side of man out. He took that and he molded that just like it was supposed to be. And he says, then he brought her to him. And Adam's like, good job, God. You get that, though. You aren't a random accident. God molded your physical shape. You are exactly what God intended you to be physically. God was that attention to detail. And then, well, it happened. So you got to get the picture here. So God said, take the picture. This is what I'm building. Then he got the dirt and he formed it. And what he ended up with was, I guess, pretty much what we would call a corpse. There it lay. And God said, not good enough, because that's not me. I am a living being. All the other creatures, he spoke into existence, and as they came into existence, they were already breathing oxygen. Not this one. No. You need something much deeper than just oxygen to survive. You need a spirit. If you're going to understand who I am, then you're going to need my spirit in you. And it says he breathed into the nostrils of humanity. Isn't that impressive? Doesn't that make you feel kind of special? You aren't here by some natural coincidence, a series of random events. You are here because our creative creator desired to have you here. Wow. He loved me that much? Absolutely. And the thing that we need to remember, that the Creator created something destined to be creative. I am a creative person, not because somebody taught me how to be creative. I came out the way I am. That should scare some of you. Okay? I have always been somebody that doodles on every sheet of paper that you give me. The elders, I think, sometimes find this funny. We're like sitting in the elders meeting, and they can see me doing it. They're all taking notes, and I'm taking notes too, but by the time we're done, there's little pictures drawn all over the paper during the meeting. I can't help myself. I just sit there and doodle the entire meeting as we are talking. And I know that sometimes I think I'm ignoring them, but I'm not. I'm listening, trust me. But it's just one of those things. I am destined to be creative, and so are you. And this creativity, well, it's reflected in everything that God did in creation. Let me just give you a few examples from your own human body, that thing that God formed. Listen to how creative this is. Let's talk about your eyes, okay? Look at the body and how creative it is, and let's just talk about your eyes. So here's the scientific thing of how it works. The eye, the retina, about 1 square inch of tissue inside the eye has over 100 million light receptors. That's a lot of light receptors. These fat cones and slender round rods convert light into electrical chemical energy, enabling a person to see. The eye is as delicate as it can come, and it takes 196 color photos per second. That's how fast, okay, normal eyes work. I think mine maybe take like 60 a second sometime. But 196 color photos per second. And not only does it take the pictures, it has its own light meter, protection, cleaning equipment, and even self-repairability. That takes some creativity to make that kind of a thing. How about your ears? Are they really all that creative? Listen to how they actually work. The ear does not happen by accident. The outer ear collects sound waves from the air and funnels it to the eardrum. The waves cause the eardrum to vibrate. The eardrum can sense frequencies that move the eardrum only 1/1,000,000,000 of a centimeter. Vibrations are mechanically transmitted and amplified through the three connecting bones in the inner ear. The mechanical vibrations enter the fluid of the inner ear, and the waves are converted into nerve impulses by 24,000 auditory receptor cells in each ear. 48,000 receptors is what allows you to hear. And they're all spaced perfectly and done the way that they're supposed to work. And every single one of them works for a while until we start getting old. And I find I've got a little ringing in my ears now, and I'm a little more hard of hearing than I used to be. And it's because, well, the body's breaking down. But you understand, in God's creation, that's a lot. How about your heart? We've talked a lot about hearts here recently. So let's talk about how it's supposed to work. The heart beats 100,000 times per day. No wonder I'm always tired. My heart is just 100,000 times a day, pumping 5.8 tons of blood per day. If you're trying to fathom how big that would basically fill up a 4,000-gallon tanker car. And guess what? It does all of this on its own, and nobody has to remind the heart, you better beat. Okay? All of it just kind of works together. How creative is that to build a muscle that would do that? The entire circulatory system that the heart uses, if you were to stretch it out, it's 60,000 miles. All crammed into a body that, well, mine is about 5'8.5", and we won't talk about how much it weighs. 60,000 miles running through you to provide your blood. Accident or creation? Your skeleton makes up 1/5 of our body weight, yet because this is why I'm overweight, by the way. I'm just big boned, okay? Because this is 1/5 of your body weight. Yet it is designed to be more flexible and stronger for its size than if it was made of steel or wood. A man's thigh bone, an average man's thigh bone, is strong enough to support the weight of a small car. I got a lot more weight I can gain. My bones can handle it. You understand? This is creativity. This is what God did for us. It took creativity to make my eyes work and my ears hear and my heart pump and all of this stuff to work together. It's not random. There's a creator that created it. This is what it says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God who fashioned and made the earth. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. And when God created all of this, he gave us a sustainable design. Listen to this. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees and land-bearing fruit and seed in it, according to their various kind, and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and the trees bearing fruit with seed according to their kind, and God said it was good. Now, Gary talked last week about the order of things, and the order also had creativity. Think about it. So the plants grow up, and they produce oxygen. We breathe in the oxygen, and we give off carbon dioxide that the plants need, so we feed each other. We eat the plants, but then as we process the plants, we basically participate in pollination, and then as we begin to get older and we begin to die and they put us back in the ground, we become the nutrients that replenish the soil to make the plants grow. You understand, this isn't a circle of life, folks. This is how God created it to work. Everything continues in a cycle because God says this is how creation is supposed to be. This, my friends, is an intelligent design. Imagine if you went to the art museum and there was a gorgeous painting sitting there. And they said, hey, who made that? And they said, well, we left the canvas and all of the paints and the brushes and all of the pieces and the parts. And we locked them in a room and we walked away and when we came back, there it was. Would you buy the story? Or would you look at them and say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. There has to be somebody, something, someone that created. Imagine if we all looked the same. Imagine if it was all just one color in life. Imagine if we all had to eat the same thing all the time. You know what that would be? Boring, because God likes variety in what he's doing. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth, across the vaulting sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing in which the water teems and moves about it, and according to his kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, filling the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning on the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, and livestock and creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals of each according to its kind. And it was so good. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was nothing boring about what was going on in creation. God was creating, and it was beautiful. Don't believe me? Let's just take a look at a few of the weird creations that God made that don't make sense. Let's talk about the variety that God put out there, because he could have just made the same thing and multiplied it over and over and over again. He could have just made Gary. Instead of making Gary and Rich, he could have said, let's make Gary, and then let's just do the CGI thing. You know how they do that with the computers? Let's just make a bunch of Garys. I don't know. Gary's like, let's not do that. Or we could have just made a bunch of Azariahs. God could have just made it all the same, but he showed variety. And let's talk about this guy. You know who he is? This is the Venus flytrap. And it's an example of God's creativity. Because what do plants usually eat? Well, they take in oxygen. They get their nutrients from the ground. How about this Venus flytrap? Well, it is a plant, which is an intricate trap with long bristles around the edges. It gives off a sweet-smelling odor that entices its prey. And when an insect is tempted into the center, the plant and touches it with the trigger hairs, the trap snaps shut, and the plant digests the insect, drawing most of its nutrients from what it catches. That doesn't make sense. That's not a good design. Well, you understand, God is a creative God. How many people here are hunters? Not me. My hand is not up. I don't hunt for anything unless it comes from Kroger, okay, or Food Lion, or Walmart. But you know what? God made some pretty impressive hunters, but none more impressive than this guy. You know who he is? He's the archer fish. The archer fish is also an interesting creature because it has complex eyes that bulge out farther than those of normal fish, so it can focus both eyes on a single object. It then pushes its tongue against a bony groove at the top of its mouth, and water is brought out through its mouth in a quick snap of the gills to put pressure behind it. And you know what? While it's shooting, it's the ultimate mathematician. Because guess what? He has to account for refraction in the water, how far the creature is away. He has to account for all of this. And you know how good he is? It allowing for water refraction and wind velocity. The archer fish hits with accuracy an insect 2 to 3 feet above the water. An evolutionary scientist writing in Scientific America expressed perplexity about this fish. He said the ability to spout was not necessary to its survival. So it's difficult to account for why it developed this manner of hunting. Wow. I just had a feeling that God's got a sense of humor. He knew where we were going to go. He's like, fine, explain this. I don't know. It doesn't make good sense why a fish would want to shoot water when it can just wait for the insect to drop, right? But it says he's a hunter. And he shoots above the water with accurate precision. Accident or creativity? And if it is indeed creativity, then this is the part we need to remember. We need to give all praise to the Creator. This is what Psalm 148 says in the closing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him in all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest of heavens, you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord for His command, but by His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures of all the ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, and all that do His biddings. You mountains and hills, you fruit trees and all the cedars, wild animals and all the cattle, small creatures, flying birds, kings of the earth, all the nations, you princes and rulers, all of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above all of the earth, and above all the earth and the heavens. He raises up for the people a horn, the praise of His faithful servants of Israel, the people close to the heart of the God. Praise the Lord. You know why we don't like to think about our creativity? Because if our creativity came from a Creator, then that means I owe something to the Creator. My existence is here because God loved me enough to see that I'm here. He created me. I've done a lot of things in my life that I've done by accident. God has never done anything by accident. I want to take just a moment to talk to the people that are younger, that are listening to this, and you can decide whether you're younger or not, okay? So if you're in the sound of my voice, just hear me for a second. The world today is trying to convince you. First, they tried to convince you you were an accident. And now the world is trying to convince us that we're a mistake. That maybe how I am and what I am, well, there's something wrong with it. Nothing could be further from the truth. You are assembled in the very image of God and the way that He wished for you to be. So my word of encouragement for you today is before you decide what you're supposed to be, or who you're supposed to be with, take a moment and ask God, what was I designed to do? God, what is my purpose? Take a moment to explore the Creator before you decide, I'm wrong, I'm broken. God made you in His image. How about we allow His image to come through us and share that image with the world that is in desperate need to know the Creator?